Okay, would you take your bulletin or your Bible and turn to John? Wow. John chapter 14, 1 to 7. It's in your bulletin. Many of you will know this by heart, I think. Maybe not in the NIV version. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 7. Very common verses. There's a heading there. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And this is another heading, Jesus, the way to the Father. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. May God add his blessing to his word.
Verse 1, don't let your heart be troubled. You trust in God, trust also in me. And I think this is saying four things to us. First of all, it says something about who Jesus is. You trust in God, or trust in God, trust also in me. Jesus is saying you can trust in him the same way you trust in God the Father. Just trust me. I'm going to take care of you. As we recite Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The average Hebrew person would quote that, and they're thinking of God the Father. The Christian quotes that, and he thinks, that's Jesus. He's my shepherd. I'm not going to want. I think that's what Jesus means. First of all, it says something about who Jesus is. Secondly, it says something about what Jesus does and can do. Trust in me because I can take care of you. I'm sufficient. You can just leave it with me. Put yourself in my hands and I'll take care of you. Thirdly, it says something about his words. Trust me. You can hear what I say, and you can believe me. Here we are celebrating Canada Day, and every politician we've ever had likes to say that. Just trust me. Vote for me. Just trust me. And almost always they let us down. The words, they just don't quite live up to their words. Jesus Christ is different. Trust me, when I say something, that's what's going to happen. The fourth thing I've got up there is there's a connection between don't let your heart be troubled and faith. Trust and faith is the solution for the troubled and the worried heart. Worried today? Trust in Jesus Christ. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's the old King James. There's my mansion that he's getting ready. In my Father's house are many mansions. You notice that your NIV has in my Father's house are many rooms. Rooms is the right idea. Here's why. Now, this is going to be sad for some of you. On my in my notes, which I'm not going to refer to, it has a number. I have a number of hymns that talk about mansions. Right? I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Right? We love that song. You don't have a mansion. Here's why. Mansion was correct in 1611. The old King James was done in 1611, but wrong now. The Vulgate has the word mansions. I think that's why they put mansions. That the Greek word that they translated from is only used twice in the Bible. The other one is in John 14, talking about the Holy Spirit coming up and living, making his abode in us. making his room in us, not mansion in us. Mansion used to mean a place of abode or a resting place or a room. That's what the word meant in 1611. Okay, so the problem's not the actual translation. The problem is the way English is used. 400 years later, when we use mansion, we mean that. That's not what it meant in 1611. By the way, the context is talking about a room. In my Father's house are many rooms. In context, he's talking about a house. I've got five things here. What does it mean? In my Father's house are many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Okay, if it were not so, I would have told you. Five things. Number one, heaven is the Father's house. Heaven's the Father's house. You've heard me do this at a funeral before. Today we'll be going down to London, Joanne and I. Her mother's in the hospital and not doing well, if you can remember her in prayer. And we will drop in to see my dad. I'm not going there to see his house, right? I'm going there to see him. I'm going there to see mom and dad. I don't care about their house. That's heaven. Sometimes we get this idea, I can't wait till I get there and see my mansion. That's not the idea. When you go to heaven, you're going to God's house. You're not going to see the house. You're going there to see him. Heaven is overwhelmingly about God and Jesus Christ. It's kind of like the culmination of our life. The culmination of our life is not to go and have, hey, just a great place to live. The goal of our life is to go and be with God and to be with our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's going to be fantastic. Secondly, notice the house is huge. In my Father's house are many rooms. There's a room for you. There's enough room for you. Okay? If it were not so, I would have told you. And Jesus' mission is about telling us. I'm telling you so that you know this is where you're headed. This is the direction. This is important. Jesus prepares that place. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. By the way, NIV probably shouldn't throw that there in there. I'm going there to prepare a place. I'm just going to prepare a place. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Fifth thing, notice Jesus does this for you. What is the going? The going is the going to the cross. That's what prepares the place. I am going to prepare a place for you. He's thinking of his departure, going to the cross, the suffering, the dying, the being put in the tomb, the resurrection. That's the going. That going is what prepares the place. So I said it doesn't take 2,000 years to prepare heaven. It takes 3 days. And in 3 days, your room is ready. That's what Jesus is saying in the passage. Now, the reason why we don't see that is the disciples don't see it either. The disciples don't see it because we're so in tune to this world, we miss the spiritual aspect of what is taking place. But the cross dominates this night. That's why we're going to celebrate the Lord's table. This takes place that night. This is what it's all about. He's talking about his death on the cross. In John 13, verse 36, Jesus says, where I'm going, you cannot follow. Peter responds with, Lord, I'll follow you everywhere. I'll die for you. Jesus said, you won't die for me. You'll deny me. But there's a little irony switch. Peter says, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. I'll die for you. Here's the thing. Peter doesn't need to die for Jesus. Jesus needs to die for Peter. Peter doesn't see that. Peter thinks, I'll die for you so that you can be magnified and I'll never leave you. And Jesus' thinking is, I'm going to go and I'm going to die for you, and that's what's going to prepare a place in heaven for you.
Now, why can't the disciples go with Jesus? And I've got a number of points here. First of all, they're spiritually incapable. They're not spiritually strong enough. Secondly, they're spiritually inadequate. They cannot die for sins. They cannot prepare a place in heaven. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again. If I go and prepare a place, the cross prepares heaven. And if I go to the cross, you can be assured I'm going to come again. The cross is the basis for Jesus' return. That's how we know he's coming back. He went to the cross. The tough work's been done. The big job's already taken place. He's already proved how much he loves you by going to the cross. And he says, if I go and prepare a place, okay, he did that on the cross. If I do that, I will come again. If you notice the bottom there, heaven is primarily about being with God and Jesus. Jesus says, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be. Heaven is about being with God, and heaven is about being with Jesus. First and foremost, so that you can be where I am. Now, I don't know if this is good or not, but when you go to heaven, you're not going to be married. Right? Right? Okay. I'm no longer going to live with Joanne. She's not going to be my wife. It's till death do us part. I hope she's still nice to me in heaven. Sometimes we get the idea, hey, I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm going to be back together with my wife, and it's just going to be like things were here, but only forever. That's not what heaven is. First and foremost, heaven is about being with God the Father and being with Jesus Christ. It's not about going and being with your spouse for all eternity. It's about Jesus. Now, this is important. Because if you don't like God and you don't like Jesus now, heaven's not for you. That's what heaven is. It's God's house. It's being with God. It's being close to Jesus. By the way, I think relationships in heaven, we won't have an intimate relationship with one person. We'll have relationships with thousands of people. And an intimate relationship with God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus then says to the disciples, you know where I'm going, and you know the way. Here's what Jesus is thinking. You know where I'm going. I'm going to the Father, heaven, life after resurrection. That's where he's going. You know where I'm going. He's told them that. You know the way. Here's the way. Betrayal, suffering, cross, death, tomb. You know where I'm going, and you know the way. Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? The disciples are still thinking, if you just tell us the destination, you're going to Damascus, say, then we'll know how to get there. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Let me illustrate that. These are directions to hell from Huron Baptist Church. How to get to hell. Hell is a place in Michigan, so I just went to MapQuest. And these are the directions that MapQuest gave me to go to hell. And I also typed in how to get to heaven from Huron Baptist Church, and here's the directions MapQuest gave me. By the way, hell is in Michigan, and heaven's in Pennsylvania. This is what the disciples are thinking. If you just tell us where to go, then we can know the way, and we can figure, get out our maps, and we can look at it, and we can figure it out. So Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the way. You see, the reason you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ is because he's gone the way. He's prepared the path by going to the cross. And that is what's prepared the room. You can't get there on your own because you can't open up that door and you can't open up that path. You can't prepare that way. I'm the way. The context focuses on that way. Over and over again. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to the Father. In a little while, you won't see me anymore. I'm departing. I'm going to suffer. And as they sit around the table, he says, this cup represents my blood. Over and over again, he tells them, this is the way. Now, here's the irony. Jesus says, I'm the way. What is he talking about? Betrayal, cross, death. It's ironical that's the way. It doesn't seem like a way. He says, I'm the truth. In a few hours, he'll be condemned as a liar, telling lies about being equal with God. He says, I'm the life. The next day, his life is terminated at 3:00 in the afternoon. Irony. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Notice the exclusivism. I am the way. Thomas is thinking, I can figure out the way, and I can walk that path. And Jesus goes, it's me. I am. In other words, it's not you. You can't do it. I am. Secondly, notice the definite article, the. I'm the way and the truth and the life. There's not a way, a truth, and a life. There is only the way. I was just reading this morning an illustration about Hinduism. Hinduism pictures life as a wheel. And as Hinduism pictures life as a wheel, the wheel just goes round and round. And so all of life is about you're on this wheel and you're dead and you're born and life goes around, you're dead and you're born and it just keeps going around and around. Life is a wheel. And so the only hope for you as you're on the wheel of life is to go down the spoke to the middle. And in Hinduism, there's many spokes, right? A wheel has to have many spokes to work. And so you go down any one of the spokes, you get to the middle, and in the middle, you're not spinning around. You can kind of look, get in the middle and look at how life spins around you. That's Hinduism. There are many spokes. Christianity, the picture is of a road. It's a road. And here we are. And at one point in the middle of the road, you have Jesus Christ going on the cross. And far in the distance, you have the destination on the road, the Father. And it's just a straight line. That's the picture of Christianity, the road. Jesus says, I'm that way, the way. There's not many roads, there's only one. He makes it even stronger at the end. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus Christ is the way. Specifically, what does this mean? When Jesus says, I'm the way, he means my death is the only path to God. I'm taking that way. Tonight, that's what Jesus is telling them. I'm taking that way. That's the only path. Jesus alone can go this way, the cross. All others must utilize the means of approaching God that Jesus has effected. That's what Jesus means when he says, I am the way. So in closing, what about you? First question I asked there is, where are you going? Jesus said to them, you know where I'm going and you know the way. Thomas said, we don't know where. How can we know the way? Where are you going? Where are you going? Are you going to the Father? Are you going to Jesus Christ? And the second question, what way are you taking? What way? Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the way. As we sit around the Lord's table, this is what I want you to think about. This is the way. The broken bread symbolizing the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the cup symbolizing his shed blood. This is the way. Putting my trust in what Jesus Christ did upon the cross as the solution and as the forgiveness for my sins. That's what Jesus did. And since he has prepared the way, since he's gone, he will come again, receive you to himself. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, after reading this passage, all glory, honor, and thanksgiving must go to you and to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ has prepared our place in heaven by his going. Our Father, I do look forward to that day when Jesus Christ will come and receive me to himself, and all of us have that same hope. We look forward to that. I pray for each person here today that they may be assured in their heart, in their mind, that their trust is in Jesus Christ as their way, as the way. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.